Welcome to TKO, the Kindness Objective podcast. Nate, you know I'm so excited that you're here. I have been wanting to meet with you and connect with you since I started following you on LinkedIn back in when you resigned from Gab, which you are the CEO of, and gave that position to a young boy named Michael, who had been going through cancer. And I was so incredibly touched by that story that I started following you ever since. And I said, there's one person from LinkedIn that I would want to meet, it would be you. So thank you so much for being here and for joining me.
That's so kind of you. Melissa, I'm genuinely honored. I appreciate you reached out. Thank you.
My pleasure. And I'm so glad that you made the time to do this. I know how busy you are. So I would love for you to talk a little bit about Michael and how that came to be, and just a little bit about his background and why you did what you did and how that impacted his life.
Sure. Michael is a dear friend of mine now and someone that I love and admire, his entire family. And I'll be brief in sharing the story, but it's one that is very personal now. And when you say, I did it in my relationship with Michael, it's been a we story from the very beginning with him, which is what's made it so special for everybody involved. So through LinkedIn, I connected with his mom, Kelly, and she was telling me the story about how Michael uses his watch as a lifeline while he's in cancer treatment. He had stage four tumor. And when she told me that he used his Gab watch as a lifeline, it was a new term for me. And so I said to her, can you explain to me what that means? I've never heard our product used as a lifeline. And the short of the story was, she said, I have to take him to treatment in Chicago for 8 to 10 days at a time. And the first couple of days are okay, but after he's there day 4, 5, and 6, and he's worn out and exhausted, he starts to feel really lonely and removed from his family and friends. And his Gab watch has given him an opportunity to sit there in treatment and talk to his family and friends through text and through calls. And when I heard that story, I was so touched that our product wasn't just something that was being used casually by a kid, but that Michael was using it at a moment that mattered most to him when he was in cancer treatment to be able to stay in touch with those who he loves. And so there's more to the story, but for the sake of me not continuing to talk, that's how I got connected to Michael and Kelly and the rest of the family. And then the story goes on from there.
How old was Michael when you first connected with him?
10 or 11. Okay. Yeah, he was about ready to have a birthday, and then he's had another one since. So he was 10 or 11.
I have a 10-year-old, and I cannot imagine going through that with my son. Last year in November, he had a reaction to prednisone for a respiratory infection, and it landed him in the hospital with a full-blown steroid-induced psychosis. And what I tell you as a parent, I have never been in so much pain in my life as I was seeing him struggle. And that was just one brief moment in time in his life, let alone having a 10 or 11 year old that's going through stage 4 cancer. I can't even imagine that. So I would say to Kelly, if you're watching, God bless you. And I think of your family all the time. And it's, from what I understand, he's in remission now, right?
He is. And I am not the best to speak about where he's at, only because I don't want to misrepresent. But mm-hmm. My understanding from talking to his mom is that he's in remission. He got it when he was a little kid, and it's relapsed a few times. But the family is celebrating right now the fact that he's in remission and doing really well.
That's amazing. I'm so, so, so glad to hear that, because I can't tell you, I've thought about him so many times since I saw you step down as the CEO of Gab and appoint that role to him, which he came on stage and he was just beaming with pride and joy. And you could just tell that was probably one of the highlights that he'll have in his whole life, not just in his young life, but he'll carry that with him forever. I can promise you that was incredible.
Yeah, thank you. I think for a little bit of context, so people know what we did next, Lori Kuhn, who is our president of Gab for Good, she had this incredible idea, and then she got the rest of our team involved, that we shouldn't just let the story stop at Michael using our watch as a lifeline. We should fly his family out to Utah and give him an experience. And so we brought the entire family out, and we told him that he was going to be the CEO of Gab for the day. And I got up in front of the company and resigned and turned it over to him. And we let him do whatever he wanted for the day. So we set up a game room in his honor. We still have an official Michael Esquivel game room here that has a arcade in it and air hockey and a Nintendo Switch. He wanted to call a recess during the day.
That's so we had adorable. A
15-minute recess instead of a work break, brought everybody into the kitchen and had treats. He did a lot of other things, but he took over my office for the day. We wore matching outfits, and the shoes we gave him are called Nike Dunks or Panda Dunks. They're black and white. I have a pair. He has a pair. So just a really special day to bring in somebody who was a customer and is now a friend and co-CEO of Gab.
I couldn't love it more. Like, literally could not love that more. And what does he call his shoes again?
I say this sheepishly because I don't want it selling. It's a celebration of me. But he calls them his Nates. And he does that because we matched and he took my job. The better part of the story, though, is although he calls them his Nates, what they really represent is the feeling he had. Sorry.
You're okay.
From a group of people at Gab that love him unconditionally. That was the coolest part of the experience. Not necessarily my relationship with him, because that matters to me. But he now could walk into this office at any time of any day, and this place would celebrate as if the biggest celebrity in the world walked in. He's a celebrity here.
Yeah.
People talk about him all the time. When I shared the update that he was in remission, people talk about meeting in the game room. We have other guests come that talk about him because they heard the story. He has a living legacy here.
Yeah.
And so to be a part of something that can allow a family to feel uplifted when they're down and to celebrate a young man when he's searching for hope is something that I never anticipated when I came to Gab, but it's now the very best part of what we get to experience here.
That's incredible. And you got me all choked up too. I cry over everything. I can't help it. So anybody who watches this podcast knows that there's going to be tears if it's me, because it's just a part of it, right? But no, I absolutely love that. And I was so, like I said, I was so blown away by that, because you don't see things like that often. And I'm like, who is this guy? And like you said, it was not only you, but it was your incredible team that is part of Gab that made that possible. And I couldn't love that story more. So again, I just love what you did for him. That's so special and doesn't take much.
Amen.
Which leads me into another area that I want to talk to you about, because another thing that I constantly see you do is you will use your platform on LinkedIn, because you've got a tremendous following at this point, and undoubtedly we know why. But you use that platform to help single parents. And I thought that was also absolutely beautiful thing to do, where you're saying, today my LinkedIn is for so-and-so's story, and this is their story, and we can all come together as a community to help them in what they need. And the community comes together every time in beautiful ways to help these folks with what they need. And I'd love for you to share more about that.
You're going to touch every emotion in me, and I'm going to try to keep it together. Going from Michael to my mom.
Yeah.
I was that kid that grew up in a single parent home. My dad left us when I was five. And it was by his choice. He could have stayed. He could have paid child support, and he didn't. And my little sister and I had to watch my mom work a couple of jobs and do whatever it took to take care of us. And I'll never forget that. It's ingrained in me in a way that, you know, I've had people say to me, but it's 40 years later. How do you still have an emotional connection to it? Because I sat in it. I experienced it. I watched my mom go through all the emotions of feeling alone and feeling left behind and having to figure everything out. And I have just always told myself, if I was ever in a place where I could give back to single parents, I was going to do whatever it took. And now that I have a platform and a bit of a voice, it just seems so natural for me to want to celebrate and amplify single parents who so often feel like they're doing it on their own. And if I can give them even just a little bit of hope that they're seen, that they're understood, that they're not stereotyped, and that I truly believe that if given the opportunity, they can excel over and over again. And I never thought LinkedIn would become that for me. And I didn't know exactly how I would find a way to celebrate single parents or highlight them. But the drive to keep my mom's legacy alive and represent her the right way has always been very close to me. And it's beyond rewarding. It's a way that I can take action. And taking action, from my perspective, is what's most important. We all talk a lot. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. But when action needs to take place, are you willing to step in? And stepping in and stepping up for single parents has been, it takes time, but it's been an easy thing for me because I think about what I experienced with my mom and I want to make a difference for other single parents is the short of it.
Clearly you have a lot of love, admiration, and respect for your mom and everything that she did to raise you. And that is evident by just what you just said. Did she struggle financially or did you have everything like you needed or was it a struggle for her?
A significant struggle. So she was single for a few years and then got remarried to an incredible man who was my stepdad and my second dad, but is now my real dad. So she wasn't on her own for a long time, but when she was, it was extremely tight.
Yeah.
My grandparents were helping, but my grandparents didn't have a lot of money. And I didn't know what was in the bank account, but I knew it was a little bit. One Christmas, the first Christmas she was single, the gift that I received that couldn't have been more than a $10 or $15 gift was a larger than life piece of canvas that was, you know, thicker than paper, but not as thick as a blanket. It was a light tan canvas. And with Sharpie, she drew our town on this canvas.
Really?
And I loved Matchbox cars. And so I got two or three Matchbox cars for Christmas in this canvas. That's what I got. And she drew the streets and the McDonald's and the church and the fire station. And that gift is the greatest gift I've ever received. I was able to drive the little Matchbox cars on that canvas street. And I drove on the canvas so much that it put little ruts in the canvas. It wore holes in the canvas, just like ruts in the street. And to me, that was an incredible gift and I loved it. But I look back and that was a $10 or $15 Christmas. And that's what she got. I got that gift. My sister got something else and that was our Christmas. So it was tight and she had to pick which bills she was going to pay and not pay. But she made it through it, and I'll never forget that she just didn't give up. She just kept day after day after day showing up, and we figured it out.
And I have no doubt that that was based on the fact that she loved you and your sister so much. You know, when you love someone more than you love yourself, and I only know that because of my son, you don't quit. You can't quit because there's these little tiny people that you love more than anything in the world that need you to not quit. And it sounds like she was that woman. That's I'm glad you had that example growing up. Not everybody does, right? And you know, that's obviously with TKO and working to help the kids that are being bullied. What a lot of people don't realize is that oftentimes the kid that is bullying someone else is not going home to that loving environment that you experienced. And they're in pain themselves. And they are, when you think about it, it's kind of like they're in constant defense mode, right? I'm already dealing with this at home. I'm not going to deal with it at school. I'm going to be the one that hurts you before you can hurt me. And so you're very fortunate that your mother was able to give you the love that you deserved and needed as a kid, because they don't always have that.
Absolutely. Can you tell me more about what you're doing? You mentioned your son. And I know you've started a passion project that has turned into your thing now.
Yeah.
Tell me more about it. Why did you start it and what does it mean to you?
So I started TKO. Originally, I tried to start TKO in 2020. Mm-hmm. And then COVID happened. So with everything being in person, it just was the worst possible time to start TKO. So back in May, I was laid off. And this organization has been on my heart for such a long time. And I said, I sat down with my son because I'm a single mom and everything that I do in my life, it impacts him. And so this was a joint decision. Like I said, Caleb, honey, this is what mom wants to do. And it's going to be tight if I do it. But what are your thoughts on it? Like, do you want me to go and find another SaaS sales job? Or do you want to do TKO and help people and maybe forego the arcade, but maybe save some lives? And he said, Mom, he said, the arcade's fun, but there's nothing more important than other people. And so we made the decision together that, okay, we're going to do this. And so TKO was founded in May of this year. And I started it because of a friend of mine who lost her daughter to suicide at 15 due to horrible, horrible, relentless bullying. It was in person first, and then it moved over to Snapchat. And, you know, these girls took inappropriate pictures of her at a sleepover, and they sent it to the entire school on Snapchat. And so when she went to school, they're, you know, you're a whore, you're a slut. And I get choked up every time I tell this story, no matter how many times I talk about Lexi, I just can't. But she had no idea what was going on. And then somebody showed her Snapchat, and it was her. And she went home and took 500 Benadryl. And I've watched my friend be institutionalized for mental health twice since losing her daughter. And I've watched her set up memorials on her birthday with cakes and pictures. And it's just, and what you should know about her mother is that I met her after Lexi passed away, but not too long after. I had had a partial hysterectomy, single mom by myself, no help. Not to say my ex-husband isn't helpful, we're great friends, but at the time it was brand new. So it was still, you know, and I had this partial hysterectomy, my son was two, and this woman, her mother, she brought a home-cooked meal to my home with her own plates and dishes and silverware. She gave me a gift basket. Everything was red because that was her daughter's favorite color. She had a gift basket for my son of toys and things to occupy him while I was recovering. And she literally, Nate, she sat down and she served me food in my home. And it was like, this woman is going through this. These people were so horrible to her daughter that she lost her daughter. And she still has the heart to be here serving me food. It blew my mind. And she said, this is what Alexis would have done. So I am doing this for you because this is what my daughter lived her life for, was to love other people. It was pretty, pretty mind blowing.
Thanks for sharing that. It is when someone is in deep pain, they can figure out a way to turn it into meaningful purpose. It's amazing what people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds like an incredible woman, and similar to what we've both shared, she's doing it in memory and in legacy of her daughter.
Mm-hmm. When she told me that, I said, you know what? If she's sitting in my home serving me food with her own dishes and silverware when she lost her daughter, I need to do this as well. And for her kindness and her heart was so inspiring to me. And it was like TKO. This has to be a thing. And it literally came to me in about 30 seconds sitting in, I think it was an Applebee's, TKO, the kindness objective, but also technical knockout, be strong, be kind. The whole thing came to me in like a 30 second mental download. And I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do. But it started with her. Yeah.
And now look at you.
Yeah. Helping people. And we do different things. So we have events and activities that we do throughout the community. And there are activities that allow other people, whether it's kids or kids and their families, to come and put kindness into action. Like you said, everybody talks a great game, but when it's time to step up to the plate and actually do it, what do? Right. And so this is like, we had a Veterans Day TKO game day, and we had a bunch of kids come and we set up all these board games and chess, and we played games with the veterans all day at the residence, you know, the residence. And it was great. And the kids loved it, and they felt so good about themselves when they left there that it inspired them to want to do it again. So now we're going to have another thing on Sunday of this week. We're going back, and we had handed out flowers to the residents, and one of the girls noticed that they didn't have vases to put them in. She's like, they don't have vases in. So we went and we bought a bunch of vases, and we're going to go there and we're going to paint them with the residents, and then we're going to give them more flowers. Right. So they have something to actually put it in. And so things like that, we do things like that where, you know, you're able to actually be kind and help people. And then we also partner kids at no cost to their families with different MMA, mixed martial arts, and traditional boxing facilities throughout the country, so that if they're getting bullied, they can learn how to properly defend themselves. But more importantly is that it builds their self-confidence when they know that they can defend themselves. And they're a lot less likely to be a target because, you know, bullies target the kids that are scared. They think you're not going to do anything about it. When you know you can do something about it, if you need to, you put off a certain persona that says, I'm probably not the one to do this to, right? And they leave them alone. So we're empowering kids with self-defense lessons as well to make sure that they have the skills they need to defend themselves and other people, and the mindset, because it's a mindset.
What an incredible experience you've created.
Thank you.
It's not just it's not a company. It's a movement to help kids feel better about themselves, stand up for themselves. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a business, but it's a nonprofit, right? So anybody that donates to our cause or wants to help these kids, you know, they get the tax write-off, which is great for them. And, you know, but I hope that people are inspired to sponsor us and things, not for the tax write-off, but because of what we're doing and how we're helping people. Because at the end of the day, like, it's a domino effect. And I feel like no matter which energy you put out there, if you put out cruelty or if you put out kindness, the domino effect is the same. If you're posting online, it's a choice in that moment. Like, what domino effect do I want to have in the world? And what impact do I want to have in the world? Because it's bigger than just yourself. You post something and somebody else posts something, and then before you know it, you have an online brawl of keyboard warriors. So it's a choice. Do you want to be the person that starts the kindness domino effect or the cruel one? And we want to start the kindness domino effect. It's important.
I love it. love it.
Yeah, what you're doing with Gab, one of the reasons why I wanted to connect with you on this too, because this is such a critically important thing. And I don't think that a lot of people really understand the severity of social media and the impact that it can have, not only on children, but on adults too. You know, there's plenty of adults whose mental health has been devastated by the impact of social media. And they're adults with coping skills that these children don't even have yet, which, like my friend and her daughter, Lexi, once it took to Snapchat, it was out there for the whole world to see it. This humiliating, mortifying experience that in that moment, you feel like, I cannot face this tomorrow. There's no way I can possibly step out of my house tomorrow. And they feel as though they have no other option other than to maybe end their life or do something tragic or go to the school. And you see all these school shootings and these things that are happening. There's a direct correlation between that, where whether it's a positive or negative, it's going to impact you in some way. Gab, what you do with Gab, providing safe technology for youth and for anyone, really, it doesn't have to be youth, is such an incredibly important thing for society right now. And I would love for you to touch on the fact that, you know, this is so important and how Gab protects people from the impact of social media.
Yeah, thank you. So Gab is a safe tech company for kids. We offer safe phones and watches. What does that mean? We believe in tech, but too much tech too soon is completely overwhelming our kids. I often relate it to swim lessons. As parents, we would never take our kids and push them in the deep end of the pool and then hope they survive. Our kids would drown. And so we take them through all of these cautionary steps of swim lessons and floaties and sunscreen, and you can't go in the deep end without mom or dad. But with tech, we give them these smartphones that were never built for them. They were built for adults. And then we throw a parental control on, a couple of them that don't work, the kids know how to get around. And then we push them into the deep end of the tech pool, and our kids sink to the bottom and we're blown away that they're in trouble. And the problem with tech is all of these massive tech companies have built their algorithms and their products in a way where they want us addicted to those screens. They want us because more is more for them. That's more screen time, more data, more apps, more scrolling, more. And our business model and our mission is built on less. We don't want your kids on a Gab device more. We want them on it less. We don't want to make more if they use more data. We want them on data less. We don't want to convince them to be in social media apps spending all this time so we make more money. We don't even have social media available on our phones, on our watches. So we believe in tech, but we want kids to take safe steps into tech so that they don't get completely overwhelmed by the time they're 10 and they're lost and don't have any goals, ambitions, passions. That's the problem with this generation now that's grown up with phones. I didn't get my first phone until I was 20 something.
Me too.
They don't know how to think off the screen. And it's demoralizing these kids. They've lost their confidence and they've lost their ability to be able to have social interaction.
That is a great point too. The social interaction, if it's not in person, real actual social interaction, when these kids go from school to the workforce, they have no idea how to socialize with each other and their colleagues and their coworkers because they have literally lived with their phone and a face down in the screen all the time, to where they don't have the social skills to be successful in life because they've never actually been social.
Yes. Kids ages of 8 to 12, kids are spending on average 5 hours a day on devices. By the time they turn 13 until they're 18, they're spending 9 hours a day on average on devices. So that may not be a full 9 hours on a phone, but it's a combination of phones, tablets, school laptops. So if our kids are lost in devices for 9 hours a day by the time they're in junior high and high school, how are they finding themselves? If they sleep, and most kids, you know, during the school week with everything they have going on, let's say they're not even getting 8 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. Say they're getting 6 or 7 hours of sleep, and then they're in school, and then they're on their devices for 9 hours a day. There's no time left to go do anything else. So our mission is all about introducing tech in the right way and then helping to educate parents and kids to say you don't need to be lost in these devices to find yourself. You have to put the device down to go find yourself.
You know, it's very mindless, a lot of what they're doing. You're scrolling and it's like, I did it the other day myself. It was like 4 a.m. and I'm like, if I don't go to sleep, and I'm going to hate myself tomorrow. But it was like these little short videos of Mike Tyson, like back when he was in his prime, and I'm a big boxing fan and I love Mike Tyson. I could not stop watching it. It was like, I would get to the end of one of these little short 2-minute videos and there's another one. And I'm like, I got to watch this one now. It's very addicting. It's very addicting, but it's also very mindless. You're not really learning anything. There's nothing about it that's enhancing your life in any way, shape, or form. It's cats making stupid noises. It's like, what are we doing here, right? And so I'll give you a perfect example of why I think Gab is so great. My son and I, every summer, we go to Penny Ryle State Park Beach in Kentucky, and we get a fishing cabin, and there's no internet there, and I love it because you cannot get online. So you don't even think about it because it's not available. And those are truly the best days of the summer we have every time, because we bring chess and we make fires and we go fishing and we go in the lake and we usually have a group of kids playing like in the out lake, we call it. We get baseball going in the lake and it's a blast. But you realize, like, how much time are you really wasting doing literally absolutely nothing that you could be spending with the people that you love, and finding what do you really love in life? What are you passionate about? And doing things to make those things part of your everyday. It's so important.
Couldn't agree more. And that's what we tell parents all the time, is help your kids live off the screen. When they're on the screen, they're not living, they're existing.
Yeah.
And to get our kids to live and find themselves, I can't think of a parent who could honestly say, my kid is going to find their passions and become their full selves by staring at a screen. No parent would ever say that that's reality. And yet we give them the device and then we're shocked that they get lost in that digital world. And so our mission and message to parents is help us help you put the phones down, and let's have our kids go experience all the things that are out there. So by the time they graduate from high school, they may not know the exact career they want to go into, but they've got a few hobbies they love. They've got a group of friends. those are all things that put us on a healthy path to be positive adults in society. But if kids, by the time they're 18, have spent 9 hours a day on phones, they've spent more time on those devices than they have in experiencing things out in the world. And it's just, it's so sad. I see these kids walking around and they're just so glued that even 2 feet beyond them, they don't know what's happening.
It's crazy.
I say all the time, wherever I'm at, if we don't stand up for our kids, who will? We can't wait for the government to do it. It doesn't matter who's in office. They're not going to raise our kids. We can't wait for big tech to come around and do it the right way. They don't care.
They don't.
They're multi-trillion-dollar companies for a reason.
Right.
And when I say, yeah, an iPhone, I'm not that worried about an iPhone, or I'm not worried about a smartphone. Well, they're making a lot of money on you and your kids because your kids are addicted to the device that makes them those trillions of dollars. So yeah, we're extremely passionate about helping kids live beyond that screen.
One of the things that we do too, when we do these events, is that we require people to put the parents to put their phone away, because we want them to be engaged in what their children are doing. Like, for example, with the TKO game day we did, we were like, we don't want parents on the phones. We want you engaged with your children. And they also realize how the parents are just as addicted to it as the kids. And so it's like, oh, just give them the device so that I don't have to parent or spend time with them. So it's a societal thing as well. And like, I feel like even adults could really benefit from having a Gab product as opposed to an iPhone, because it is addicting. My dad comes to visit us and literally the whole time. And I'm like, you know, hang out with us a little bit, put the phone down, you know, and I've been guilty of it myself, but I always put myself in check and say, I got to put this away, you know, and I'm going to spend time with my son. We're going to go fishing, because, hey, you know, they're only little for so long and you can't get that back. So you don't want to miss it.
True.
Now, how does Gab help it in regard to the bullying situation on social media? Because I know Snapchat, Instagram, all those apps where you can send some cruel thing or a horrible video threatening someone, they read it on Snapchat and then it disappears. So people think, I can do whatever I want. They can't do that on Gab, can they?
No, so we don't have social media on our phones. We just don't allow it. We don't allow kids to have access to the app stores. So what we do is we created a parent portal, and we load approved apps into that parent portal. And then based off of the age and maturity of your child, you get to decide as a parent which apps you push to your kid's phone. And you can also pull them back if you want to. But we have said out of the gate, we don't want social media. So we don't even load all the social media apps into the parent portal. Because what happens is a kid would just go negotiate with mom or dad. Come on, I want Snapchat. I want. And then eventually the parent gives in and they push it to the phone. So we just eliminate that, which allows a parent to say, look, you know, you have a Gab phone. The social media apps are not even in the parent portal. I can't even send them to you. So it just eliminates the contention. So that's what we do, is we provide devices that just eliminate that argument. If you have a Gab device, social media is not there, and you can't beg your parents to go pull it from somewhere because it's not even on the phone.
And they can't even manipulate to download those apps, because I know a lot of kids can work their way around parent controls and things like that. And they can hide apps and parents don't even maybe realize they're on these apps. So with Gab, it's just not happening. It's just not even an issue.
Yeah, we would have to upload it to make it available in the parent portal for a parent to push it. So even if a kid got a parent's password, worst case scenario, and got into the parent portal and tried to push apps to their phone, it's not going to be there because we haven't made it available. And so parents have to submit to us which apps they would like for their kids, school apps, religious apps, learning apps. And we go through an approval process and then we make it available through the parent portal. The other thing we do with bullying, because you brought that up specifically, we don't trust other messenger apps. And so we built our own Gab Messenger. And within Gab Messenger, if a kid has a Gab phone, they can talk to non-Gab phones, but it all happens through Gab Messenger. It's the way kids text on a Gab phone. And with the AI filtration that we've built, we notify parents when something alarming is happening in a conversation.
Really?
So a parent can get notified. And parents ask all the time, well, a kid's never going to say sex in a text. They're going to have some some term or some lingo or some emoji, but the AI has gotten so smart that it's keeping up with the lingo and the things that kids are using. And so we're able to notify parents and say, hey, your child is involved in a conversation on their Gab phone. We're letting you know that this is the text, and we're encouraging you to go have a positive conversation with your child to talk about the right way to message and use text and images.
That is fantastic. I knew a lot about Gab. I did not know that. That's a game changer. That's fantastic. That's great.
The other thing we've added is safe video calling. Mm-hmm. And when we said we were going to offer video calling, parents' number one concern is, well, what if my kids are sexting over video? What if they're showing skin and crazy things? And so our safe video monitors a certain percentage of skin. And if any piece of clothing comes off or if there's too much, it freezes the video and notifies the parent that something alarming may be happening on a video call.
That's amazing. So
as an example, we had a dad shot me a note and said, hey, you'll never believe this, but my daughter was on her Gab phone on video talking to her friend that was not on a Gab device. And they were talking about a celebrity. I think it was something Tatum. Whoever Tatum is.
I don't know.
But he's a celebrity. And they were saying that he's cute. And the friend started holding up pictures of this celebrity with his shirt off. And because too much skin, even in the photo, was shown to the daughter on the Gab phone, it froze the call and notified the parent that too much skin was being shown. And when he went into her room, he said, hey, what's going on? Are you on video? And she said, yeah, Dad, I'm not doing anything bad. And he said, well, I just got notified by Gab. And she said, oh, she just showed me a picture of a celebrity with his shirt off. Point being, and that some could say, well, that's way too conservative. Point being is that the tech is working and we need to fine tune it with the AI, but it clearly notified the parent that something outside of the norm is happening on this call and you should go pay attention to see what's going on.
That is fantastic. I didn't even know that was a possibility for any app at all.
Yeah, and safe messaging, safe
that's
video.
That's incredible.
And it's only getting better. Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got parents. I talked to a mom not too long ago. Her son had committed suicide. He was on some messenger chat like you're talking about that doesn't have that. And somebody had like coerced him into sending him a picture, and that he gave him a bunch of like, I don't know if it was Roblox cash or whatever it was. And then they framed him saying that they were going to put that picture out, and he wound up committing suicide. So it's a lot more of a safety concern than I think a lot of people realize. And the fact that your system can actually detect that is incredible. Like when my son wants to get a phone, it will be a Gab phone because I don't have to worry about it. You know, I had no idea that was even possible. I love it.
Yeah. And we're only getting better. And it's all with the intent of, again, we're not anti-tech. We know kids are going to be on it, but we want to help them be safe as they age. And it's completely naive to think that, and I understand why parents do it. They get a new iPhone or they get a new smartphone. They've got a 2-year-old used one sitting there. It's just easy to say, you know what, I'm going to give this to my kid. And if a parent can process, I just use this phone as an adult and I'm addicted to it. And now I'm going to give something I'm addicted to my kid and hope that I can put a few parental controls on it and that they'll be safe. It just doesn't work. Doesn't work.
That's a really good point. You're literally handing them the thing you're addicted to. I never really even thought about it like that, but that's so true.
You're passing it down and then you're shocked they're addicted like you were. And you're shocked that the parental controls don't work, but the companies who offer those parental controls don't care because they want everyone addicted to the phones. Not once have you ever heard one of those big tech companies come out and say, we truly care about the safety and mental health of our kids. Which one of those companies is talking about? If they were, they would be denouncing social media. They would be talking about less screen time. They would be talking about the importance of safe steps in tech. But instead, they're just saying more apps, more screen time, more data, more. And more is not the answer for our kids.
Yeah, it's all about the money for them, for sure. It is completely about the money for them. Well, I'm so glad that I got to connect with you because, like I said, I've wanted to meet you for such a long time. And I feel like this has been the best day ever now because I got to meet Nate. So I want to thank you for coming on and just talking about Gab. And again, all the great things that you do for single parents, which it sets an example and a precedent for everybody else that's watching. It takes a little bit of kindness, can go an incredibly long way. So be like Gab, be like Nate and his team, and think of other people and do what you can to help those that need it. Because at the end of the day, kindness spreads. And, you know, I truly believe that if we focus on the good in the world instead of the bad, that we'll see a lot more good. So thank you again for sharing your story and Michael's story. And I am so excited that I had an opportunity to meet with you today.
Thanks, Melissa. I'm so honored. Thank you for reaching out. It's been so good to talk with you.